Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
We mention AI because it's part of the playbook that we've put together following the Unity Breakfast for the GOP following the primary. But before we can get to that, we have the privilege of doing what, Paul?
Is it the agenda?
Yes, it is. Oh. These are the top stories that we're following. You might want to follow along.
Number five.
I urge you to finally pass the ICE ordinance so that city employees have clear directives in writing that delineate their expectations. It's likely that there'll be an increase in ICE presence as they recently received an additional $70 billion, and Homeland Security Director Homan has promised increased activity. If the Bangor police begin cooperating with ICE agents, you can expect the community's trust in law enforcement to suffer. That damage could take decades to restore.
Marianne Larson of Bangor joining the cavalcade of comments before city leaders about Councilman Michael Beck's ordinance to limit Bangor city employees' interactions with ICE. Now, if I'm following the YouTube post correctly, the measure, as amended, fell. It failed. 3 yes, 5 no. I do not know why Councillor Carolyn Fish left the council chamber before the vote. Joe Sokol of the Main Wire had eyes on this last night, sent me a text at O'Dark30. I sent him back a note, going to try to get him on very soon to dig into this.
Number four.
He is very different from me. He's the antithesis of the steady leadership that I provide in Washington that has delivered real results for the state of Maine and for our nation.
You know, that's Senator Susan Collins appearing on The Story with Martha McCollum on Fox. Her first appearance since Democrats in Maine picked Graham Plattner as their Senate candidate. Now, trolls and bots, if you have a sharp eye on X, on Insta, even on the Facebook, you'll see that there are trolls and bots on the internet, no ties to Maine, reposting, jabbing at Collins in the interview, saying, you don't look good, you don't sound good, and why did your interview need to be recorded? Meanwhile, in the Plattner cinematic universe.
Number three.
I will never forgive Susan Collins for her vote for Brett Kavanaugh, which results in the overturning of Wade. But I will be honest, I also will never forgive establishment Democrats for many years never taking the opportunity to codify reproductive rights in federal law.
Socialist Democrat Graham Plattner, by the way, put a pin in the term socialist Democrat. Spin doctors Brent and John are on today. Plattner at the podium as Planned Parenthood Action Fund endorses him. Their statement is they believe he will be a champion for sexual and reproductive health care. The biggest gift that Planned Parenthood gave Graham Plattner yesterday was the optic of a man with an alleged, violent and disrespectful past with women. A needed picture of him standing at a podium, a lot of pink behind him, and a lot of women smiling and nodding. Speaking of podiums.
Number two.
You would never, ever be able to cut that amount of money, even half or a quarter of that amount of money, without taking healthcare away from people, gutting services, healthcare services, the viability of providers, of pharmacies, of hospitals, of nursing homes.
It's State Representative Drew Gittin, Democrat Westbrook. He's one of the Democratic lead operatives in the state of Maine, thumping the podium, I lost count, in front of the cameras, decrying Republican for Governor Bobby Charles and his plan to right Maine's fiscal ship. Gittin, honestly, after listening to the comments a couple of times, Gittin betrays something. If you listen to it, you could never cut that much money without hurting. That only proves that the majority party in Maine has spent the state beyond any way to rein in their fiscal malfeasance, I'll say. But Bobby Charles has a plan. However,
number one,
200,000 people voted Democrat and only 100,000 voted for Republicans. How the hell are we going to win?
Caller, to what teased you off yesterday, and we saved that comment. How are we going to win? She talks of the Republicans and the plan. Yesterday, we shared with you two pages out of the playbook following the Republican Unity Breakfast. And how can they possibly turn a Unity Breakfast into an election night victory? We said, don't depend on legacy media and get a real ground. A lot of response from people out on the street after sharing the 12 names of the organizations that are going door to door for Democrats. While Republicans have maybe two or three, one person sent us a note, said, oh, my word, from my head to your mouth. And we asked this the question of the day yesterday. Would you knock on a door for your candidate? 27% said yes. 70% said no. Not sure? 3%. So if you're not going to knock on a door, some people said, well, you know what? I'll share stuff on Facebook. So glad you said that. Because if Republicans are going to win in November, they've got to turn social media attention into voter trust. And Bobby Charles proved something important during the primary, that if you've got energy, if you've got a message, if you have the discipline to transmit that message, and if you got a creative online strategy, you can punch well above your financial weight. When we asked him on the morning after RCV results, we thought he was outspent by opponents 70-1. I think, Paul, he said it was more like 50-1.
Wow.
But still
50-1.
He claims he was outspent, let's say 50-1. You know why? Because Bobby Charles played the long game. Come back to that in a moment. And he also used social media, because social media can be a real bargain. It can be as fast as you produce the video or the graphic, and then you can post it and you can boost it. It can be funny. It can be effective. And it can get around the gatekeepers of television, newspapers, and radio in our state. It can reach voters. But we're waving a red flag here. There is a risk. Well, maybe two red flags. First, what worked in the primary could very well wear thin as we approach the general, because you're going to be seeing so much of it. What was the term? You're going to reach the threshold of noise, of ignorance. You're going to see so much of it that people are going to scroll past it. And what felt fresh in May can be really repetitive in October. And there's another concern here, and that is AI. You recall the articles that said that Bobby Charles was using a lot of AI in his campaign? Mm-hmm. You saw them, Paul, right? Mm-hmm. And I bet you saw the ads, too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the song parodies of The Devil Went Down to Georgia, in which he was going down to take care of all the mess that Mills made. I thought that was kind of clever myself. Yeah, right. But out of the gate, it was clever. It still is. He produced a lot of single-page AI ads where he's the cartoon character explaining to the person walking through the woods how you're supposed to vote for RCV. And even post-primary, I've seen one from the Charles campaign that shows an image of Rick Bennett and Hannah Pingree both in a suit pocket, and it says corporate on the pocket. Clever.
Yeah.
You can generate that with AI in less than 60 seconds. You can get it posted within another 60 seconds. You can get it boosted in another 60 seconds. 3 minutes, your campaign ad is out there. But people in Maine are starting to really get an eye for what is AI, and some people don't like it. So if you're going to use AI, GOP, to promote your candidates, you got to keep in mind, you can't flood the market. It's going to get old. It may get old fast. But it's going to be so cost effective for you. One more thing. Do not confuse a click with a vote. Do not confuse a share with a trust. Do not confuse online applause for what you've done with persuasion. It's going to help. But social media, with the assistance of AI, is not necessarily a cost efficient silver bullet. Here's page 4 of the playbook, and we alluded to this in conversation after the primary. Republicans, you got to get a handle on overseas voter strategy. Results from the primary show Democrat Uokava, I think that's how they call it that. Overseas voters, Democrat numbers much larger across the board. In the race for Senate, look at this alone. In the race for Senate, Democrats that were overseas, not here, casting votes remotely, 816 total entries. Republican, 65. And among the Democrats, we pointed this out, among the Democrats running for governor, the candidate who arguably knows the overseas voter list the best won the most support, even though she didn't win the nomination, Shenna Bellows. We saw House, I believe this, I'm going to be brave and I'm going to say this. We saw House seats lost last election because of overseas votes. Democrats are harvesting overseas votes, people that are military, people that are away. They're doing their job. Republicans, you got to get someone on that. The Republicans cannot assume that the intensity of the base around whatever candidate is going to take care of itself. You need a strategy for early absentee voting, military voting, overseas voting. And we've already talked about the low propensity Republican voter program, neighborhood, that portal. The fact that I cannot immediately remember the name of it tells me that I love you, David Whitney. You're not pushing it hard enough yet.
Neighborhood Navigators.
Neighborhood Navigators. And here is the fifth page out of the playbook. Get started a year ago. Bobby, Charles, I held up the box for you. Mm-hmm. I showed you postmarked January 1st, 2025, and he'd already begun positioning himself to run for the Blaine House 3 months earlier. Bobby Charles started more than a year ago, sowing seeds, watering seeds, harvesting, and then winning. And if you're planning to run campaign ads thinking you're going to catch everyone's attention, you already know that the Collins-Plattner Senate race, I chose Collins-Plattner instead of Plattner-Collins. I still don't know who gets their name first.
Right?
Doesn't make sense. Ladies first? I don't see it all. I don't see it always, though.
I know.
No, it's not in the AP style book. You already know that the Collins-Plattner race is going to be the giant weather system that's going to suck the air right out of the atmosphere in Maine politics. You will not be able to purchase a campaign ad or screen time because the Collins money and the Plattner money will be coming in and already buying. I bet it's already sold, at least on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So every other Republican campaign right now has to decide how it's going to try to cut through that storm, how it's going to rise above that noise. And the way you did that, notice the verb tense, the way you did that. It's not the way you do that. The way you did that is you started a year ago. And if you didn't start a year ago, good luck. Maybe you can lean on that AI, that cost-effective, I can get around the gatekeepers and I can post my ads and maybe I'll get the attention that I need. So don't rely on legacy media. Get a real ground game. Turn social media into trust carefully. Get an overseas strategy and do it really, really soon. Start harvesting those overseas ballots now. You're going to need them. Every vote will count. And start not yesterday, not last week, not last month. Start a year ago. Let's get to the AI aspect of this, because this is our question of the day online at WVOMFM.com. Paul, how did we word this today?
Are you bothered by the use of artificial intelligence in producing campaign ads?
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.